For those who have been following the 1 Corinthians series, today we break from that series in order to cover a couple of very important biblical themes in the lead up to our return to face-to-face meeting. Wasn't it great to hear some good news during the week? Our church can return when we reach 70% double vaccination rate, and most are predicting that that will be Sunday the 18th of October. At 80%, we've been told that all can return to church, both vaccinated and unvaccinated together. Most are predicting that will be only a week or two after 18th of October, so let's say 31st of October. Then December 1 comes and we can sing and we can move from 4 meters squared to 2 meters squared. Some things are clear and some things are still a little uncertain. More details about specific regulations will be shared with you in the coming weeks. So will the details of our reopening and our return to church. In advance of our return, I want to tackle a handful of biblical themes around these issues as we prepare. Today, I want us to look at what the Bible says about the importance of gathering, and secondly, our view of government. Next week, we'll cover the themes of the relationship between love and freedom, the manner in which Christians should disagree, and the protection of the vulnerable. So we begin with the first point there, the importance of gathering together. And I probably don't need to tell you that gathering together is important. We know it from experience. Not having church has been hard, extremely hard. Online sermons or even live streaming is not the same. We can't interact. We can't have those important conversations. During the week, I spoke to a friend of mine who is an assistant minister over Chatswood Way. Due to COVID, his church has not been able to keep up financially. So sadly and painfully, he was told a few months ago that he wasn't going to be able to continue at his church in 2022. Thankfully, in the Lord's kindness, one door closed and another door opened. At the end of the year, if health orders allow it, he and his family will be moving to Darwin. He has been called to lead the church at Fred's Pass. It's a great name, Fred's Pass up in Darwin. Anyway, my point is this. The announcement that Steve and his family were leaving his church and moving to Darwin was made online, on live stream church. These are the moments when there are normally hugs and kisses, when many important personal conversations are had. Online church is not the same. It is impersonal. At best, it engages the head, but it's almost impossible to engage the heart, the spirit, the emotion. We need to be in the same room for that to happen. We need each other. Hebrews 10:19 and following says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And this is the key verse, or key verses 24 and 25 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In these verses, we are commanded to meet together. The verse actually says that we are commanded to not give up meeting together, but to put that more positively, we are commanded to meet together. Why? So that we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, encouraging one another. We need each other to keep ourselves going. Solo, isolated Christian living is extremely hard, if not impossible, over the longer term. Online church is something. It's better than nothing, but it's certainly not ideal. It's that much harder to encourage others and be encouraged by others. That happens through conversations. And the best conversations are face-to-face ones. We all know this, so I know that I don't have to convince you. I'm sure that you are looking forward to getting back to face-to-face church as much as I am, and face-to-face small groups. Online Bible study groups are hard work, and face-to-face meetups over coffee, over lunch, over a meal. This kind of connection is irreplaceable. We also know that church is central in God's overall purposes for the world. The next couple of chapters in Hebrews talk about that. Hebrews 12 teaches us that our local gathering, and every local gathering, as imperfect as they may be, each is a reflection of the perfect heavenly church that God is building. God is in the business of building his church, of gathering his people. An important theme across the Bible is God's people in God's place under God's rule. You might have heard that before. God's people in God's place, under God's rule. Gathering as the people of God is a blessing. The scattering of the people of God is a curse. This was true for Adam and Eve in the beginning. It was true for God's Old Testament people, Israel. And it's true for us as the people of God in Christ. Gathering is a blessing. Being scattered is a curse. Isolation, loneliness, disconnection is not good for us. God saves us in Christ to be his family, the body of Christ, connected as one. But we haven't been able to connect so much, have we? Certainly not together as one body on a Sunday. And not really together in small groups. Our government has not allowed it, for good reasons, for the health and safety of our community, and in particular for the health and safety of our most vulnerable. Although I would acknowledge that not everyone has agreed with the decisions our government has taken, which leads me to point two for this morning, which is our view of government. Let me remind you of what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 13 keeping in mind the government of his day. We certainly would not have agreed with every policy of the Roman Empire, especially around the treatment of Christians. Nevertheless, Paul writes in Romans 13, verse 1, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment to the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience." Paul continues in verse 6, "This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." So we see here that Christians are commanded to submit to the authorities, even to health orders, whether we agree with them or disagree with them. Thankfully, in our democracy, there are ways that we can disagree respectfully and honorably. Disobeying health orders in order to gather for a protest would not be the right way for a Christian to go about it. But I must say that it will be interesting to see how our authorities, in particular our Victorian authorities, react to protests when the health orders preventing gathering are no longer in place. I have to say that some of the policing has been particularly severe. It has been sad and concerning to see violence on our streets from both sides. Vaccine mandates are also a tricky issue. There are still serious question marks about the legality of such mandates. Those who refuse the mandate, including some Christians who have objections to the vaccines or are unable to be vaccinated for health reasons, are certainly paying a price. For some, the price is great: losing their job, ending their career, taking away their livelihood. The question people often ask around submitting to authorities is, when is a Christian free to disobey the governing authorities? The answer is when the government is asking us to do something that is contrary to the will of God. The classic example in the Bible is in Acts chapter 4. When in the early days of the church, the apostles were forbidden by the authorities to preach the message of Christ crucified and risen. Their response, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." In other words, in this situation, the apostles must obey God and not men. If the authorities demand that we do something that is contrary to the will of God, we must obey God, not the authorities. Now, some have taken this and said, God commands us to meet together as his church, so we must obey him, not the public health orders that restrict our gathering. The counter argument to this is a temporary measure for the health and safety of our community, in particular, the most vulnerable. And in the day and age of live streaming or sermon uploads and Zoom, we can still meet together, even if it is substandard. We can live with this for a time for the sake of the greater good. We've seen on the news the damage done to the name of the church and of Christ when churches have been found meeting contrary to the health orders. So, as we work toward reopening, we will heed the government's regulations at 70%, 80%, and on the 1st of December. More than that, we will do what is required to love and care for every member of our church. I'll say more on what that might look like next week as we cover the topics of the relationship between love and freedom, the manner in which Christians should disagree, including on vaccines and vaccine mandates, and the issue of favoritism and the protection of the vulnerable. For now, let me return to where we started. It's very good news that our return to gathering is on the horizon. 70%, 80%, December 1 is an ever-increasing light at a pretty long tunnel. I trust that it's given you a bit of a spring in your step and some optimism about summer and school holidays to come and Christmas and New Year. But more than that, that it's made you excited to get back to church, to experience the blessing of gathering again, of being encouraged and encouraging others face to face. As Hebrews says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen.